How do aliens repair their damaged spacecraft?
Oh, I don't know.
With a duct tape.
Oh, that's very clever.
I just thought I'd slip that one in there, you know? It's also how they keep their victims quiet when they're abducting them. Preventing motion and so forth. And see, this is my methodology of dealing with the darkness and everything like that, because it's not only just you telling me this. I've had, like, people over the last couple of weeks just coming at me from left, right, and frickin' centre coming on the show and talking about all these copious quantities of eclectic scumbaggery that seem to be, you know, inexorably surrounding the entirety of humanity in a vice-like grip of perpetual darkness. And, you know, my defense mechanism for this, and it's been working so far, I don't know how much longer it's going to last, is just comedy, you know, having a few laughs. I don't know how effective that is, or I don't know, has anybody ever tried laughing at the djinn and made them feel bad about themselves by making fun of them, and they go home and cry to their celestial mommy or something?
Well, I don't know if they can make them feel bad. But what I hear on all fronts and what I've experienced myself is that as soon as you are afraid, they've got the upper hand in a very big way. They manipulate fear. And, of course, sometimes when they appear in very hideous forms or in these dark shadow people forms that scare people in the middle of the night, your first instinctive reaction is one of fear. And they can throw off a lot of very hostile energy. So not being afraid is very important in dealing with them. And, of course, comedy, if you can laugh at something, well, that can help you shore up your defenses, too. It just makes your armor a little more like a little more impervious. You know, you got better spiritual titanium around you, so to speak. One of the things that I think is happening, we're already in this, we are moving toward an interdimensional Earth where these openings are going to be more frequent, more sustained, and we're going to have to come to terms with the fact that we share the planet with other entities who also are here on Earth but live in other dimensions, not to mention beings who manage to find their way here from exoplanetary space as well. And it's a mixture of the good, the bad, and the ugly. What we may be seeing is a skewed perspective now with more manipulative forces, but there are good ones as well. But it seems to revolve around the fact that human beings are... we're not aware of our own sovereignty and our own, I guess I want to say, specialness. You know, you were alluding that a little earlier, Vinny, about our creativity and, you know, all the good things about human beings that makes us very attractive, either as allies or as targets. And we don't seem to have much of a communal sense of self about who we are and our rightful place in the scheme of things.
Well, I hope that we can actually change that mentality, because I don't know about you, Rosemary, but I've been talking to a lot of people all the time, and so many of them have just kind of lost their faith in humanity. They think that we're a cancer on this earth, that there's nothing good about us, that we should be punished, that the more people that die in war, the better, you know, that kind of thing. And what occurs to me is you're just completely out of touch with reality, mate. You're only absorbing one half of it that the darkness in this world actually wants you to see and wants you to believe about humanity and about yourself, so that you will never even bring or even try to bring the light out to shun away the darkness.
Well, that in turn is a likely kind of campaign tactic against us as well, just to make us feel more hopeless, because, you know, the idea that humanity has just gone down the gutter and we might as well just give up. And we can't go that route either. So we really have to, I think, be better fortified and better educated in order to avoid these hazards and to prevent them from getting too much momentum. I am an eternal optimist, and I've never really been one to give myself over to conspiracy theories and the doom and gloom, but those things are out there. We do have to be realistic, and maintaining the right attitude toward it, the right equilibrium, is going to be increasingly important if we are going to survive and thrive.
Mm. Can you say honestly that humanity is on the right track now? Like we're actually starting to overturn this? Because as far as I'm concerned, that is the case, is that we've been living under a dark, predatory, horrific, paranormal system for quite some time now. And with the aid of the internet and the information spreading, expanding people's minds left and center, expansion of consciousness, a lot more research and scientific evidence is coming out now that is actually really encouraging for our ability to fight back against darkness, whether that be normal or paranormal. And I think that we're on the up and up, whilst at the same time, the bad ones are trying to convince us that we're on the down and down.
Things do seem to be very, very polarized, and there's an awful lot of chaos going on right now. Many people, I think, just really searching for direction. We've had so much political and economic upheaval around the planet that these are serious forces that disrupt lives on all fronts and just make survival difficult. And that's another way for the darker side of things to gain a manipulative handhold, is to, you know, break the backs of people financially, break them emotionally, break their health, keep their domiciles in chaos. But every time human beings have reached the bottom of something, we've always managed to get our act together and to rise back up above it. So, like I said, I am the eternal optimist about these sorts of things. And
can I ask,
yes,
what's your source of eternal optimism? Is it a natural thing that's always there, or do you cling to it because you fear the alternative?
A lot of it has to do with the people that I'm in touch with all the time. And, you know, I'm out in the community a lot. I'm on the media, in the media a lot. I'm addressing audiences. I'm having personal interactions with them in cases and via the emails. And I hear from the other side of the fence, too. It's not just people who are having problems, but it's people who are tracking very solidly on the spiritual side of things, who've had uplifting experiences, who've had transformations in their lives, who are dedicated to bringing a higher frequency of spiritual light into their lives and into this world. So I hear about that side, too. The dark side, of course, gets a lot of attention. It makes for the best media. And one of the reasons why I've gone into this area is because I see a need for education here, that if you turn away from it because you don't want to think about it, or you just hope it will go away if you don't think about it, those sorts of things are not very constructive for us either. So it's about bringing things into balance, and my work has always straddled both sides of the fence, the light and the dark, and I see a lot of very powerful forces moving in on the other side too, the side of the benevolent and the good, and the constant striving for the better picture.
Who or what awakened you personally to this kind of thing? I mean, did it happen during childhood or what?
I suppose it did, Vinny. Like a lot of people who become involved in this in a deep way and also on a full-time basis me, we've had experiences since childhood. Now, I didn't have any really experience that I would consider to be extraordinary in any way, like, a big blowout kind of experience. In fact, I think in many respects, gradual sorts of awakening are often better. They certainly help you integrate things a lot better. But I did have experiences when I was a kid. I had mostly angel and fairy experiences. I have no recollection of ever having been abducted. I became aware of past lives when I was a teenager. I started experimenting in out-of-body travel and the dream state and lucid dreaming and in precognitive dreaming when I was pretty young, too. And those were some of the things that launched my interest in this area. I've always been fascinated by this. And the fact that this is not an equal playing field for people, that some people have these experiences in other realities that they know are genuine, and that's what happened to me. And then other people explain them away or dismiss them or claim that they don't happen at all, that it's not real, that they're just some sort of hallucinatory thing. So I wanted to look at the how and why behind these experiences all of my life.
Okay, well, let's. I wanted to get into this a little bit more after the break as well, because I think upbringing and really kind of determines what you turn into as an adult. We'll be right back after the break with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, ladies and gentlemen.